to the Fantasy Footballers DFS Podcast, coming to you from PristineAuction.com studios with your hosts, Jake Seeley, Chris Meany, and Joe Holka.
Welcome, Foot Clan. It's another week of the DFS for the rest of us, the DFS Footballers Podcast, to get you ready for week three. Hopefully, takes home some cash. Hopefully, do better than we did last week. It was a little bit of a rough week. It was a kind of a crazy week in general, but it was week two of the fantasy season. Hopefully you didn't get injuries in your seasonal league, but we're talking DFS. I know we talked about it before the show. It wasn't a very good week, but I mean, did you make anything anywhere, Chris? I know Joe and I crapped out basically at the table, but you?
Yeah, I play a lot of cash, so I did enough to cash, but I played some tournaments and it wasn't great. I mean, I had a lot of Alvin Kamara and that didn't work out. I did not expect Drew Brees to get knocked out of that game early. So I had a lot of Kamara and a lot of Todd Gurley, and Gurley was okay. Just didn't do enough. It was a weird week. I mean, quarterbacks obviously went down left, right, and center.
Well, yeah, that's true. Did you take anything away from week two, Joe, that we can put in our hat to kind of remember for week three?
For me, it just feels like a week you just burn the tape and move on. My strategy, at least, like I'm playing a lot of higher stakes, kind of small field GPPs, but only one lineup. So when it goes really bad, I don't really.
Are you on to Cincinnati? Back,
right?
That was the quote, right?
Basically, just moving on at this point. Take my $0 performance from week two and just move forward.
All right. Well, then, you know, we'll just get right into it. But before we do, as a reminder, if you're not part of DFS Pass with the Footballers and the Foot Clan, make sure that you can get over there, get all the content in addition to the podcast and the articles and all type of stuff. Chris and I both have articles over there helping you out. 10% off with the code podcast to get you covered. Chris Meany's at Chris Meany. Joe Holka's at Joe Holka. I'm at the Olin Kid, and we're all here to help you out. So we will just, like I said, jump right into it and get to some of our cash game picks this week.
Straight cash, homie.
Straight cash. We're starting running backs. We're doing it. I made the change. Nobody said it was a problem. Running backs, wide receivers. Then we come back to quarterbacks because we want to talk running backs. And Chris, where are you looking? Because it's weird. On DraftKings, I'm not quite as high. On FanDuel, I feel like I'm paying up for the elites.
Yeah, I agree. I'm actually having a tough time feeling out some of these backs that I... you know, for cash, guys that I trust. So I'm going to go up to near the top with Dalvin Cook at $8,300. I mean, why not? What we've seen from the past couple of weeks, this is what Minnesota wants to do. They want to run the football. He leads the league in rushing. He's got 3 rushing touchdowns. He's got 41 carries. He's caught every single target that's gone his way, 5 of them. The Vikings want to run the football. They're heavy home favorites. So they get up in this game against Oakland, they'll lean on the run. I mean, again, it's just for me, I'm just having a hard time with these running backs this week. Like Barkley at the top, I don't know what to expect. CMC, like, wasn't happy with his usage last week. No Cam likely this week. And Zeke, like, what's going to happen in that game? I'm sure he'll get his, but he could sit in the fourth quarter. I think Cook is the safest of the bunch in terms of, you know, just high price tiered backs.
So you're off Zeke?
I'm not off of him. I'm probably playing in cash more than tournaments, to be honest. I may fade him.
Oh, see, I'm going the other way.
Yeah.
I'm going tournament. Well, we will talk tournaments like we do every single week in case you're new to the show. But I'm actually going the other way where I'm using in tournaments because a lot of people are thinking what you are thinking. And it's a valid concern. Look, we saw it happen in week one where they yanked them and Tony Pollard got a ton of work in the fourth quarter against the Giants. That's the concern. Everybody's already thinking about it. If you're paying up to the third highest priced running back, I think a lot of people are worried that he's not going to get 20 touches and he might be out of this game soon enough. But on the flip side, you could kind of say, well, what if he's the one that did all that work to get him there?
Yeah, and if he does sit in the fourth, I mean, it's likely he got his most, you know, he probably found the end zone a couple times. He should find the end zone. Like, if I had to bet on one guy to find the end zone this weekend, it would be Zeke. Like, I feel like that's why I feel like he'll do enough in cash. I just don't know if he'll hit his ceiling in tournaments. But, it is an interesting concept to think because you're right. Probably a lot of people are thinking like me.
It's crazy, though, the Zeke thing. Like, this guy was on a beach in Cabo, like, working out 2 weeks ago, right? And we're talking about him as like, one of the chalk running backs. I'm with you guys, though. I just think that we've seen his workload scale up. I think he's one of the best plays in the league. I'm actually, yeah, I think with Jake on the side, I think he's good for cash. He's good for GPPs. One thing that really stood out to me, Matthew Friedman mentioned this earlier in the week. He was talking about power run success. Dallas actually has the highest success rate in the entire league in power runs. They're facing Miami, who is the worst at that kind of situation as well. So Zeke could definitely eat in this one. I mean, anytime you get a guy at home, it was just a massive favorite. I'm always going to be interested. High team total there. Even if he doesn't play in the entire fourth quarter, I think that he's probably still going to get his 22, 23 touches at a minimum, right?
I think that's what we're thinking, because to the point of, look, they also don't have Michael Gallup, and as much as you want to say Devin Smith and Randall Cobb, I think that you lean on them and just say, why not? Why wouldn't you just turn to him as many times as possible if that's all it's going to take to beat the Dolphins, which that's
they should just be inactive. Like, they don't even need him. let's be honest here. Miami's minus 92 point differential for the Dolphins. Like, this team is an absolute joke. Like, if they wanted
the line this week,
it should be. If they wanted to, they could score 60 points in this game and just lean on Zeke and give him the ball 30 times and he'd rack up 200 plus yards. But I mean, they would be silly to do that, obviously.
No, just roll out Cooper Rush and Tony Pollard.
Sure. Yeah. Wow.
All right. Are you going anywhere else, Joe, then?
Yeah, Dalvin Cook's definitely my guy. I think he's still underpriced at 7,800. I think the usage in Minnesota, we know exactly what they want to do, and there's value in that for that kind of safety. So I think he's still underpriced against Oakland. Just, again, another home favorite, large team total. We know he's going to be active in the passing game as well. The pace isn't going to be great in this game, but if we at least know where the ball's going, it might not matter from Dalvin's perspective. So I think we can roll him out again. What are you guys doing with Christian McCaffrey? I think that some people might be panicking a little bit without Cam Newton, but I mean, Kyle Allen, who we'll talk about in a little bit, he wasn't terrible. I mean, in the games that he has played as a back, I mean, he's got a 64.5% completion rate, 9.9 yards adjusted per attempt in that start. So I don't know. I think that he's probably okay. They might just end up funneling more targets to McCaffrey, which could, I mean, kind of counterbalance like what negative effects that he might have on the offense as a whole.
Well, yeah, I don't think. Go there, Jake. Go ahead, Jake.
I was going to say, Kyle Allen hasn't been terrible. And something I said to you before we even came on the show, and Chris knows this because I brought up in our podcast over at The Athletic, is when I talked to D'Angelo Williams for that show, another podcast, and I try to like pimp out all these shows. It's just D'Angelo Williams can tell more so than any of us can because he's played the game. Is what he talks about with rookie quarterbacks or inexperienced quarterbacks is they usually don't make it to their third or fourth reads in the progressions. And sometimes, you know, some of those come back around, but they usually stick with their first two and try to stick with the first one. Kyle Allen has some experience, but he's still inexperienced. I think that if you look at it, you have to assume, looking at the Panthers, Curtis Samuel's routes are going to take time to develop, and we'll probably talk about him in a little bit. But Christian McCaffrey, Greg Olsen, and DJ Moore should be the first reads alternating depending on the plays. And I include Christian McCaffrey because he's coming out of the backfield to check down, keep things safe as the second read and not the third or fourth. So I actually think that Christian McCaffrey could have a fine game. And the interesting thing about that, Chris, is I'm looking at fan share, and right now he's the most covered and projected higher ownership at running back, despite the concern of Kyle Allen being at quarterback.
Wow. Yeah,
interesting.
That is very
interesting. Yeah, I was shocked by that.
I'm shocked to hear that as well, because I was thinking the same way as Joe, is that, you know, I think people will be a little bit sour on him. And I don't think I'd go there in cash, but I mean, you make a great point, both of you guys. I mean, just look at the Jets game with Simeon in there and then Falk in there. I mean, Le'Veon Bell had 10 targets, 10 catches. That could be a similar situation where he racks up double-digit targets.
30-something touches.
Yeah, and he should. I mean, if you're Carolina without Cam, that's should be the big part of the offense. That's what you should be leaning on, is Christian McCaffrey. And what is a pretty good matchup, right? It's going to be up-tempo game. So I won't go there in cash, but I will in tournaments. But I am surprised to hear that, you know, that ownership number. I thought maybe people would just be off of him.
Yeah, so, and we didn't talk about the third one, which I'm kind of curious for both of your guys' takes on it, is Austin Eckler. Austin Eckler's been terrific so far. Yeah,
he's lock him in for cash every week.
Is he? Yeah. Same for you, Joe? Just lock him in?
7,200. Same thing as Dalvin Cook. He's just underpriced relative to his usage. This is something early in the season we see quite a bit of. Like, are you guys, I guess, we don't even really have to talk about that at this point. I'm more, I guess, what do you guys think about him kind of holding up under this workload? Those are always kind of the concerns with Eckler. Another good spot this week against Houston at home. I don't know. I think 7,200 is a phenomenal price. I prefer going the Dalvin Cook and Christian McCaffrey route. But I mean, yeah, he could easily make it in as my third guy.
I prefer that route as well, but I mean, we've been talking about Eckler week one, week two. I alluded to it at, I think, the first show without Gordon, the kind of workload that he's been getting. And you should be concerned, I guess, if you're a season-long owner, that he could wear down. But right now, he at least seems healthy. 41 touches in two games. He's a big part of this offense. He has the most fantasy points out of any back over the first 2 weeks. So, I mean, I think you just continue to lock him in, especially on DK, where you get that full point for the catch. I mean, that's what we love, 163 yards through the air and only 124 on the ground. So it's his work in the passing attack that, you know, that's so intriguing.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing we're looking at is the work. And this, you know, I don't want to turn this into that show because this isn't that show for it, but this is kind of a testimony. I think you have to look at the Charger and they're saying, well, why not just beat the living hell out of Austin Eckler until Melvin Gordon comes back? Because we don't even need to worry about him playing 16 games. We just, you know, use what's the most effective, because, and that's what the problem is. That's what Melvin Gordon's fighting for. That's what all the running backs are fighting for, is that the NFL just beats the crap out of him and then throws him with the wayside. All right, so let's talk wide receivers. Joe, you're up first this time.
Yeah, I think that this week is going to be an interesting one at wide receiver. If we just want to talk about some guys towards the top, but Keenan Allen looks like he's a little bit underpriced. I know everyone still loves Eckler, and Keenan Allen's got that nice Q tag next to his name as well. But I think that this is a guy that if we just look at the things that we know definitely matter, especially early in the year when we're kind of grasping for straws as far as data and that sort of thing. Like Keenan Allen, still top five in weighted opportunity rating over the last 2 weeks, top three actually in yards per route run as well. So I think that he's an interesting one, 7K. I think that's a really good price for him on DK when we have guys like DeAndre Hopkins, Michael Thomas, all these guys are above him in salary perspective as well. So I think if you're going to pay up, Keenan Allen at home against Houston's the one I'm kind of targeting. Houston, we know they don't do well at stopping what Keenan Allen does well. So that's always a nice spot if you're going to pay up.
Yeah, like Keenan as well. Keenan's a great call. I love his price on both sites. I think it's fair. I like Kenny Golladay too. It's just this Eagles secondary is absolutely it's a mess. I mean, they full out canceled practice on Wednesday because everybody was hurt. Like they couldn't even get out there and practice. So they've allowed the second most passing yards, top five catches to wide receivers. Kenny Golladay has been pretty consistent in the two games he's played. 19 targets, 159 yards. He's found the end zone twice already. So I think Stafford and the passing attack is very underrated. They're all low price. Stafford is you know, very affordable. And for Kenny Golladay, I just, you know, Ronald Darby has just been, he's been torched in all year. And even last year, you can go back to it. So the Eagles run D is solid and it just means more passing for Stafford and company. So I love Golladay. I like his price on both sides.
Right, Golladay is interesting too. Yeah, I think we should touch on quickly that game, we might even see an upset for Detroit at this point.
Absolutely.
Just because of how depleted that Philadelphia is, like both sides of the ball. Number one wide receivers have just been absolutely torching them. All these injuries, I think Golladay is a phenomenal play for sure. If we want to move down a little bit, I think it's time to just keep going back to John Brown. I think that he's a guy that, again, he's just going to see those valuable targets. His price, $5,500, maybe people think that's too expensive for that. But if we're just looking at his target share, I think that he's still totally fine. I think that even just bringing him back with Josh Allen, our boy, again, still makes a ton of sense. If we're just looking at some of the guys in his range, like no one's really seeing the kind of weighted opportunity rating that John Brown is at that price point. So I think against Cincinnati, a team that's probably underperformed to start the year, but I think is a lot better than they've showed so far. I still think that Buffalo is a team that can put some points on the board this week.
So I want to know how both of you guys didn't bring up one name. He's $200 cheaper than John Brown on FanDuel, and he's only $4,800 on DraftKings. The freaking cyborg himself. Like, how are we not talking about Emmanuel Sanders being the entire offense for the Broncos? Talk about underpriced for his usage so far.
Absolutely. Yeah, he's in the DFS pass for sure. 20 targets, 16 grabs in two games. It's the only guy that Joe Flacco really can throw the football to. He's locked in. They're going to be down in this game. They're going to have to throw a little bit. I don't have a lot of faith in either running back.
No, this is why my heart cries for DeSean Hamilton, Chris. Yeah. This is why. This was supposed to be his role and why I liked him so much.
You're going to have to wait probably one more year for that.
Yeah.
Sanders just he looks like a freak. He looks better than ever. I mean, it's not that he ever looked bad, but coming off the Achilles injury as quickly as he's done that at that price point, you're right. DK and FanDuel, I mean, I view him just like Larry Fitz.
He's freaking Victor Stone. He's better since he's been fixed.
Yeah, he is better. And Fitz too, like a similar price. Especially on FanDuel, $5,900, Sanders, $5,700. Like these are two guys that are a big part of their offenses. They both have 20 plus targets, and it's a high tempo offense in Arizona. I mean, Kyler Murray's thrown the ball 92 times, 94 times. Like it's nuts. And Fitz is just locked into that role. And these are two guys that you can play on DK. You get that extra point. You get that full point for DraftKings is where you like them. I think they're better plays over on DraftKings as opposed to FanDuel.
Joe, how do we not bring up the name of Penn State that was before him? Is Chris Godwin now? Is he becoming too high priced where he's now in the elites and now you kind of have to
more expensive hesitate? Than Evans?
Yeah, it's crazy that he's more expensive than Mike Evans this week, which is maybe that ends up being skewing towards. I originally thought Mike Evans might come in lower on just because he's not been playing very well. If we're looking at some of these same stats, he's right there with opportunity as Chris Godwin. But yeah, maybe people are scared because Chris Godwin's finally more expensive. I'm not sure exactly what to do with them. But playing guys against the Giants has been working for us all season. Jameis can't be this bad, I would hope. Maybe there was just kind of a transition period of him kind of working his way into this offense. I really like the idea of stacking up Tampa Bay, which might make it to my stack. We'll think on that a little bit more. But Chris Godwin, 6,900. I think I still like, I mean, at that point, right, like you're almost there to some of these other guys like Keenan Allen that we talked about. And I think I still prefer him.
Can I step back a second then? We didn't bring him up for cash. I know the usage is concerning, but the matchup, are we not even thinking Peyton Barber and cash? I mean, he's super cheap against the Giants, and what should be? I mean, if anybody's seen the Giants' defense, let us know because I don't think anybody has.
I was looking at him. I was thinking about him. You know, heading into week two, it seemed like all the reports, like, "Oh, Ronald Jones is going to be a bigger part of this offense."
Get more touches,
Barber. Yeah, he's going to get more. And then it was Barber. Like, I really do feel like they will use the hot hand. Like, I think that Barber will start the game, and if he has five runs that are just not good, and Jones gets in there and has three runs that are okay, they could just lean on him. I feel like that's exactly what happened in week two. Like, it was Jones who had a couple carries early on, and he wasn't great, and then they just went to Barber. So I just can't trust that situation. I can't go there yet.
Yeah, I don't play guys like that. I'm just going to let other people mess around and try and catch the Peyton Barber week and just keep playing the guys.
Evans is interesting, though. Jake, what do you think?
Oh, yeah.
Evans is, I mean, the fact that he's lower and everyone's on the Godwin train and the fact that, you know, Evans hasn't done anything really in two games, I have a lot of, I'm excited.
We might talk about him in lineups later. Let's just put it that way.
There you go. So you are feeling him. Nice.
Two more quick names I want to throw at you guys. One mainly on DraftKings because he's still priced high on FanDuel is Stephon Diggs. He did have 7 targets last week, and it is a very favorable matchup where we know the truth about Stephon Diggs. If he's healthy, he's productive, and he seems to be back to 100%. No interest in – I know it's cash, and you're going to be concerned, but is there any thought of Diggs possibly in cash for you?
Maybe not for me in cash, but I like both him and Thielen this week. I mean, the only team that's given up more yards to quarterbacks than the Eagles is the Oakland Raiders. So I know that they want to run the football, so that's why I'll roll out, you know, Cooks and Cook and cash, but – I will go that way. Diggs is that home run hit. I probably trust him a little bit more than Thielen, but I think I'm going to take shares on both of them because you dropped Athletic, and we're talking about Athletic again, but in the chat this week was just so many people. They didn't know what to do with Diggs and Thielen. Like, I need to get both of these guys off my roster. So I feel like that's the thinking. It's much like Evans. Where are these guys? Like, Kirk Cousins doesn't look good. He's not throwing the football, but if there's a matchup here, I'm sure he's going to, you know, try to feed his two weapons this week.
The DFS pass brought to you by
the DFS. I had to kind of give some concept there.
Yeah, Joe, the other name, Marquise Brown, like his ownership is going to be through the roof, but specifically more so on both sites because he's not in that price range for Stephon Diggs and FanDuel. Are you on Marquise Brown at all? Especially like this Chiefs game, we're assuming should be points scored on both sides.
Yeah, only Devin Smith on the slate at wide receiver has a larger yards per route run this season, 5.18 yards per route run for Marquise Brown. I know he hasn't played a ton of snaps. I mean, there's going to be upside there, though, and I think it ends up making a pretty decent pivot off of Mark Andrews, or is it just going to be Mark Andrews week every week? I don't know. I guess we're all kind of searching for that guy that can kind of be Lamar's stacking partner, I guess, that could come in a little bit lower ownership.
You brought up the two names. You want to know who has the higher projected ownership as of today between Marquise Brown and Devin Smith?
It's got to be Devin Smith, right?
It's Devin Smith, yeah.
Come on.
And to your boy, hey, look, John Brown's right there lockstep with him. So there's your boy, John Brown.
Yeah, John Brown's awesome.
John Brown's great.
I know you don't like Nelson Agholor, but because of Darius Slay, and we had this conversation before, but I mean, at this price, are you kidding me? He's $3,600. He's 48 on FanDuel. Doesn't get much cheaper than that. Like, they can move him around in the slot, and no Jeffrey, no Jackson. In games where Jeffrey wasn't there, I mean, he was getting like 20% of the target share. He's going to get a lot of work, and I just think the catches add up. Like, he could leave this game with 6 or 7 catches.
Oh, I'm with you. It's just for the price. The price makes it worthwhile. What you and I talked about was that I don't want to see Aguilar outside the entire game. And if he's outside if you could tell me even 50% of his snaps are going to come from the slot, I'd be he'd be almost a staple in my cash game lineups. But he's just in some of mine, and I'm probably staying away for tournaments because I think a lot of people are going to use him because of the price. Because of the concern, because something that we could continually teach everybody, again, I'm saying this because there might be new people to the show just for this week, is one of the things is when you look at high ownership percentages and understand that there's a potential downside to somebody like Aguilar, where if he is outside and he is seen by Slay for the majority of the game, he could potentially have a very quiet, potentially even zero. And if everybody's on that and you pivot off of it and maybe even go to another player that's in that price range or even in this game, maybe J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, although I feel like a lot of people are already talking about him. Point being made is if everybody misses on that and it's such a high ownership percentage, you put yourself at a leg up over everybody else. So, Joe, anybody else before we get to quarterbacks?
For cash games, I think that that's pretty much it. I'm with you. I think that Aguilar is going to end up probably be one of the highest owned wide receivers just because of his price. And I mean, his floor is probably fine in tournaments, though. He's shaping up to be like a really good fade, I think.
So, yeah, I agree with that. I would only play him in cash.
To your point, and Joe, Chris, you guys, right now, Larry Fitzgerald and Nelson Aguilar tied for the highest projected ownership in wide receivers. So there you go.
Yeah.
Christian Kirk week every week, right?
Christian Kirk week. Christian Kirk's actually tied for 18th right now. He's up there. He's up there with Kenny Galladay and above Emmanuel Sanders.
Galladay should be much higher.
Yeah. This is very interesting so far. Some of these, I'm kind of...
A lot of different ways you can go this week.
Yeah, there are a lot of different ways. All right. So quarterbacks, we talk about it all the time. Super flat. Is this, if you can, just plug in Lamar Jackson or Dak Prescott and not even think twice?
For me, yeah, it's every single week. I feel like I'm talking about Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen or even Dak Prescott. Like, those are the three guys.
Well, I'm done bringing up Josh Allen. If you don't want to play Josh Allen, you don't want to play Josh Allen.
Nobody's playing him. I mean, I'm playing him in cash, and I find myself like the only guy who's playing him. I don't fully get it. But yeah, all of them. I mean, Lamar Jackson for sure is going to be forced to throw the football a little bit more. And then Dak Prescott, again, we could get in that scenario where he does sit in the fourth, but he should do enough. I mean, he's just been so good. 82% for his completion percentage is unreal. Like, he is just in a great rhythm right now. I love the offense in Dallas, and I know they beat up on some weak teams and he's taken advantage of some weak teams, but this is another one coming to town. So I have no problem with Dak.
Yeah, I think Dak is a guy that, I mean, this season so far, 82.3% completion rate, like 10.9 yards per attempt. Like, he's playing elite. Like, last year he took the second most sacks in the entire league. This year he only has one sack, like 1.6% sack rate. So yeah, I mean, I think that the scheme change has been huge for him. I think that this is is there a better matchup than just targeting the Dolphins at this point? Like, I think we talked about it last week, like full on tank mode, like let's go. So let's get all those guys in, Zeke, the defense, let's just play as many Cowboys we can fit into a GPP lineup. And if it ends up 52-0, then I think we win all the money, right?
Get their defense too.
all the monies are ours. Anybody else that you're looking on this range and know Tom Brady and against the Jets? Ooh. Shaking your head.
Not for me.
No?
Yeah, not for me. I'd at that price, like, Prescott is 100 cheaper. I'd just rather do that or spend down.
Well, on FanDuel, he's not. Tom Brady is down 7,800 with Matt Ryan, and the person is not playing Drew Brees. And
yeah, that's not a bad price. I just have that fear that they'll just run the football a ton, and I just don't want to go there. I'd rather just take the shot on him in tournaments.
Or, you know, the fact that maybe this is the Josh Gordon game with Antonio Brown still doing his. I'm just saying, you know.
Hey, yeah, look. No, it's very possible. Yeah.
It's the Patriots. They're going to run up the score just because they like running up the score on everybody else.
That's what they do.
Are we done? Are we done with quarterbacks already? Yeah. We're just moving on?
I mean, Josh Allen every week. Yeah, I still think that's pretty much it, right?
I mean, it's really four options.
Price jumped. He's $5,900. Like, his price is not jumping up to where it's like crazy to pay for him. Like, 53, he started 56. He's gone up 300 every week. Like, that's still too low.
It's pay up for Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Dak Prescott, or just take Josh Allen. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. Okay, well, actually, you know what? I'll throw out one more. The other Josh Allen-ish. That's not running, but he's throwing for a hell of a lot. That saved his week last week. No Kyler Murray, or is he tournament only for you guys?
Tournament for me. I am intrigued with him in tournaments for sure. But yeah, not there yet for cash.
Okay. Tight ends. Do we? I'm just going to set up the first question here and then get your guy's opinions. Joe, you can tell me who your pick is after this. Is it? Are we already at the point where you can't even in this matchup say OJ Howard is a cash play?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going anywhere near him in cash games until I see something. But I mean, I'm not really a cash game player. So I guess you guys tell me from that point. I don't even think he's that great of a tournament play at this point. Do you guys?
No, because his ownership is through the roof because everybody's just like, oh, facing the Giants, everything's going to be fine. And
wow,
Chris,
yeah, I'm surprised. I'm surprised to hear that. I know it's the Giants, but this guy didn't, Winston didn't even look his way.
There are four tight ends.
I'm a frustrated Howard owner in season long leagues. I watched every snap of that game and he did not look Howard's way. And I know he played the majority of the snaps, but when they got in the red zone, it wasn't even him in the field. It was Cameron Brate.
No, it's not even just the majority of the snaps. You know this, Chris, as I brought this up before. For the snaps that he was out there for, less than 50% of them were route run plays.
Exactly.
That's the problem. I said this, Joe. I said this to Chris earlier this week is if we took the name off the jersey and said, hey, there's this tight end. He's in a great offense potentially, but he's running less than 50% of his plays for routes. You'd be like, I don't care. You wouldn't want him.
Yeah, I mean, I think if we just take the name out of it, like, is this a guy we would even be looking at? Like, everyone's still holding on to these, like, season-long, like, kind of takes from earlier in the summer. But, like, at what point do you just move on and just let other people chase it? That's kind of where I'm at.
Bruce Arians for tight ends is Matt Patricia for running backs. And, well, I guess you can go right to Bill Belichick for running backs. I mean, that's just what he is. That's the frustration. I guess Shanahan for everybody because the dude just lies all the damn time. All right, so then where are you looking, Joe?
Yeah, I think that this is the spot where maybe we go to Zach Ertz. I love him this week, especially with just not a lot of certainty in Philly. I think that he is the guy maybe that if ownership had just kind of drastically skews towards someone like Aguilar to save, that makes me want to go even further to the Zach Ertz train this week. At 5,700, he's the same price on DraftKings almost as Kittle. So, I mean, I think that his price is at a spot where maybe people don't want to go there. But I think like, the things that we really want to see at tight end are these high team totals. They are at home. I mean, he's got 82 routes run over the past 2 weeks. So, I mean, he's elite in that. I mean, nothing's changed with Zach Ertz. I mean, I think that this is a week that it makes a lot of sense to go there. I guess we didn't talk about Carson Wentz, but I mean, he's so cheap. There's not a ton of weapons there, but I could see a Wentz to Ertz stack working out this week, too.
I don't remember the last time I saw Ertz that cheap.
I know. And which is really confusing. Like after week one, there were so many guys there and I was thinking there's no way he's going to be able to, you know, repeat last year when he had the most catches ever from a tight end. And then these guys start falling down and he has 16 targets. I mean, not only the most targets for a tight end, but the most out of anybody last week. And now he leads all tight ends and targets with 23. So he's going to be a big part of that offense. There's a huge gap between him and Kelce in terms of pricing that Joe alluded to on both sites, on FanDuel, $1,100 cheaper, and on DraftKings as well. There's just like even a bigger price gap. So and he's probably right, Joe, like more people will probably go on Aguilar, which is better for us because I'm in on Ertz. I think he's going to be a big part of this offense. I predict probably another 15 targets for him.
Ooh. 15 targets. That's
he's going to try to get as much work as he can.
Is it?
Yeah, exactly. There's no one else there.
Are we doing the Darren Waller? Are we just even against the Vikings, just from volume standpoint, especially with the fact that Tyrell Williams might be less than 100%?
Yeah, I think Waller is still a guy you can pay down for sure. But go ahead, Chris. I don't have a whole lot more to say besides his price is still really good for his target share.
Yeah, that's all I was going to say as well. I mean, I think I'd rather just spend up $200 more for Andrews. I'm going to spend up for tight end this week. It's going to be Ertz, Andrews, or maybe Kittle. You know, if you want to go all the way up to Kelce, I'm not going to hate you for that, obviously. But, you know, there's certainly those guys are getting a lot of work, a lot of volume. I think we're just kind of pulling at straws with like guys like OJ Howard or Cook. Like, there's just not a lot of safety there.
All right. So then let's talk defenses. Cash defenses for you guys. Don't
Dallas?
Sigh too much.
Cowboys?
Dallas? Dallas, New England? I mean, seriously, like those are the two defenses.
Find a way to pay
if
up
can
for them?
Find a way to pay up for them and get them in. I mean, those are two that I like in cash.
You're not saving a ton on FanDuel because it's only 400, but I mean, you are saving quite a bit from the Cowboys over on DraftKings because they're 900 cheaper than the Cowboys, and that's the Bills hosting the... you know, what did I say about the 49ers last week? What do? You attack a team that has a questionable offensive line that is going to keep throwing the ball no matter what, and you get potential sacks and turnovers, I'm attacking the Bengals when I'm looking for that play. And I think the Bills are going to be a popular pick more this week than the 49ers were last week, but I still think the Bengals are definitely a vulnerable team, especially because Joe Mixon's still not 100%.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that's a really interesting one. This defense, right? Like, it's the same thing as if everyone's just going to pay up now because they think they're going to just find the Patriots every week. I think that people overreact to those really big weeks. And maybe this is a week to pay down at defense just because everyone's going to be chasing these high kind of really wide spreads that have you guys remember seeing spreads like this like last year? This is insane. It seems like that's always the thing you want at defense, right? Because game flow just has so much predictability in what happens for as far as defensive touchdowns, like turnovers, sacks, all that sort of thing that we want. So yeah, I mean, just targeting the Jets, targeting Miami seems like it could definitely work out again. I guess if you want to pay down, I do have some interest in Seattle against New Orleans, 3,200 on DraftKings. It's definitely not paying down by any means, but it's paying down from these other kind of elite ones that are kind of at least a slight pivot off of some of these really expensive ones. So I'm taking a peek at them. What do you guys think about Seattle against New Orleans and Teddy Bridgewater?
I think it's interesting.
Yeah, I like that one. I think it makes a lot of sense.
Actually don't. Really?
I was going to say, I think it makes a lot of sense to in tournaments to maybe pivot off those top defenses and try to find, so you mentioned the Bills is a good one, like Seattle, like maybe let's pick on some of these quarterbacks that, you know, haven't played a whole lot, San Fran, like.
I agree with that thought process. This is why I'm going to say I'm not, is because Teddy Bridgewater is too safe. I think this is going to be a slower game than the Saints normally play. I don't think Teddy's going to throw too many picks or get too risky on his own that's where I'm looking for. I'm looking for somebody who's going to get turnovers. And I just don't think the Seahawks get turnovers against Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah, he actually doesn't take a ton of sacks too. I thought that he'd be further up in that list than he actually is. He's kind of middle of the pack on interception rate and on sack rate. So I'm with you there. And the pass attempts, we'll see what New Orleans wants.
You know what's funny?
But what about San Fran? Like, what if Connor doesn't play and Rudolph's just throwing the ball like 40 plus times? I mean, they can generate some pressure.
They had more picks in one game than they did last year.
Yeah, I'm interested in the Niners. I think they're at a decent price.
A little bit more tournament. And we'll talk about tournaments here in a second. I just wanted to point out the Dolphins are $2,000 on FanDuel. $1,000 less than the Jets against the Patriots. That's how far down they are. Hey, how far?
They could be free.
I was going to say, if they were free, would you even put them in your lineup?
I don't know. Probably not.
Yeah, I don't think you're finding the GPP winning.
I mean,
ceiling
they got
there.
Negative 3 points week one.
Well, that was going to be my question. Like, you could get, if there was $0 and you could just plug in a defense for $0, you still wouldn't take them.
I mean, maybe, and just hope that they get 0 points, 3 points, and not negative, so I can spend up elsewhere. Because I am, like we were talking before the show, I could use a couple $100.
I'm totally waiting for. And if anybody's out there who's played baseball, I remember what day it was, but they put Chris Davis down at like it was a ridiculous price. It was like $100 and something just because it was mocking how many strikeouts he had or something. And
that's right.
Yeah,
it was basically free. It was $500. That's right. I played him.
Yeah, it was cheaper than that. It was whatever his strikeouts were.
Oh my god, what a joke.
All right, so let's talk tournaments. I'm moving on.
I'll save it for tournaments. I think there's at least one more cheap option that makes some sense.
We're moving on for tournaments. We're going.
You down with GPP?
All right, Joe, or is it running back related, because we're going to running backs first?
Sure. I think that it wasn't going to be running back related, but yeah, we'll pivot that way. I think that one guy that makes a ton of sense at running back this week is going back to Alvin Kamara. I said this on Pat Mayo's show yesterday. It's just everyone wanted to play him last week and now no one wants to play him. So anytime I see that for a guy that's got that kind of talent, that, I mean, the scheme still, like, it should be relatively similar, right? Even with Teddy, you mentioned how safe he is. Maybe he just dumps it off to Alvin Kamara a bunch and he ends up at 10% ownership and no one wants to play this guy and he just ends up with 50.
I like it for that reason. And the reason he's tournament for me is because I am a little bit hesitant that they all of a sudden turn this into Latavius Murray as the lead. Not like he's going to get 60%, but just that because it's Teddy, maybe this offense becomes a 55 Latavius Murray, 40% Kamara, and then sprinkle in whatever's left for Zach Line or somebody.
Seattle's going to pressure, though, right? So if he's under siege, I mean, it just makes sense that Kamara could end up seeing some of these dump offs for sure. But yeah, I mean, I guess that's a scare. I didn't consider the Latavius Murray aspect of it. But
well,
yeah,
that's I know this is DFS, but that's why I'm telling everybody to hold 1 week. A lot of people are out there. Should I drop Latavius Murray? No, just wait 1 week. I mean, We could legit, this could be the Houston Texans that just went to dominating touches for Carlos Hyde last week. Like, just wait a week just to see, because you're going to hate yourself if they do flip the script.
And if anything happens to Kamara, who knows? This could be an injury-filled season for the Saints. You just don't know. I mean, if anything happens to him, I mean, it's not going to be great news
Chris
for Latavius.
If you want to attack him when Kamara gets hurt, and you want somebody to blame everybody.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, you guys can direct your hate to me. That's fine. But, you know, I see both sides of it. I agree that they're going to dial up some pressure, and that should mean maybe a few more catches for Alvin Kamara, but I also do think that they're going to turn the page a little bit and run the ball more with Latavius Murray. So, I mean, it depends on how much success he's going to be able to have. I mean, Seattle was fine in week one against the run. Mixon, I know, wasn't you know, healthy. And last week too, I thought that they were fine against the run as well. But I agree with that strategy with Kamara. I'm not going to roll out Latavius, but I agree with that strategy of trying out Kamara, get a few catches. Everybody is down on him. Myself, I said off the top, I had so many shares of him. Recency bias is completely a thing in DFS, especially tournaments. So you're going to get Kamara with a single-digit ownership percentage. I mean, yeah, all the power to you.
How about for you? Somebody else, Chris?
Another guy, I guess, like same sort of thing with David Johnson. You know, week one was so good. You know, he touched the ball almost 30 times, six catches. And then week two was just a very tough matchup in Baltimore. He left. He was in and out of, you know, some plays with the wrist injury. He's practicing at full this week. I just feel like he'll go back in what is a better matchup. We just saw, we're talking about Barber having success against Carolina last week. So he could, you know, flirt with 80 yards on the ground, catch a few balls. I'm just so intrigued with Arizona and how many plays that they run and how many times Murray's throwing the ball. So I think at his price, we could get him again with a low ownership, and he's just a little bit too risky for me in cash, but I'll put him out there in tournaments.
All right. So one name you guys didn't bring up, actually two names, one Le'Veon Bell. No, against, are we just scared of the Patriots? I think that's kind of the reason you consider Le'Veon Bell, because if he's getting 30 touches and he gets you the bonus, I mean, I know he didn't through the first 2 weeks, but if you're telling me I'm getting 30 touches from Le'Veon Bell, I'm still going to think there's a 50-50 chance he gets you the bonus.
Yeah, I think there's still like something to be said for quality of touches, right? And what sure. What's the quality of touches in this Jets offense? I mean, it's not like he's a huge discount off of some of these other guys.
I know Luke Falk looked terrible, but is Kyle Allen that much better that we're feeling great about Christian McCaffrey but not Le'Veon Bell?
He might be.
Okay, fair enough. I asked the question. I mean, all right, so here's the one more I'll throw it for you, both of you guys, that you didn't bring up either. And obviously, you know, this being Thursday, the show's coming out on Friday, and there could be a different report by the time you guys are listening. Still, if 100%, another quarterback change, this person projected ownership as of today is behind Jamal Williams and Tony Pollard. Let me just put it that way. James Conner, whose price dropped.
Wow. Those are some brutal names you mentioned.
And James Conner's projected ownership is behind them. He's down to 6,400 and 7,400. Are we just panicking full mode on James Conner? Because if he's 100% healthy, if he practices full on Friday, James Conner's going to find his way into a tournament lineup.
Yeah, if he does practice in full Friday, you're going to have to obviously pay attention to reports. The DFS pass is great for that. The injury report, I mean, it'll show you guys
10%
that, you
know,
we're feeling a little bit
podcast.
More. Shout out, 10% off with podcast. So yeah, Connor, I mean, not bad. I think that Rudolph is going to just throw the ball a ton, but if he's healthy, maybe they do lean on him a little bit more. But just follow practice reports, I suppose. I mean, that's interesting. His ownership lower than, you know, two scrubs that, you know,
backups.
Yeah, backups. Yeah. I mean, Jamal Williams, you kidding me?
You could see that creep up a little bit though, if his injury
of
ends
course,
up not
but
being
it
an
was
issue,
still
but,
point
but, yeah,
being.
That's nuts. That's nuts. Yeah, what are you guys doing? I feel like I bring him up every week because we tiptoe around him. But Saquon Barkley, I mean, he's got 100 yards and 6+ targets in each game this year. Like, I think the Giants' offense could actually be better with Daniel Jones. Do you guys disagree with that?
No, it will be better.
Why is Saquon not in play? Is it price?
No,
I mean, he's still
honestly, it's the same thing we talked about before, which I brought up with D'Angelo Williams. What's going to be the first or second read for Daniel Jones? Well, so. There's two ways to look at this. So the Daniel Jones, the first read, probably Shepard's back, is going to be Engram or Shepard on most plays, and then he's going to look to check down. But what if Saquon Barkley as the third option on a check down? What if Shepard's out there and it's Shepard, Engram, Shepard, Engram? Like, that's the entire game. If, you know, third option is Barkley, because this is what I say, and I know I keep saying this is what I told Chris, but it's just like pointing out for people that are out there, do listen to us on other shows. I don't want to be like, you know, I'm repeating myself, but point being, Daniel Jones coming out of college, 70-75%. I forget the exact number. I should have probably looked it up before today, Chris. But the number was off the charts of his completions were always first reads. He is a first read guy at a first read level of the NFL where people don't make it to the second, third, fourth read, and you want to keep the game simple for Daniel Jones. I think that's the one concern. But to your point, Joe, people are off him, which makes him an interesting tournament play for that reason, because that's the downside. The downside is that maybe he sees two targets this entire game.
Yeah, that's the tournament play you want, right? He's still a guy that still should have at least somewhat close to the same touch upside that he's always had. But what if he ends up being the second option for him? Like, this guy, I mean, he balled out in the preseason. Like, I actually think that Daniel Jones might be fine. He might even be a guy that we kind of bring this offense back from the dead, at least make them usable. And I'm not saying Saquon's going to be the guy that directly benefits from that. I'm just saying he could. And that's why I think
if they're really smart, they get him some of the first reads, some like arrow routes over the middle. That would be terrific.
Small sample size, but I was very impressed with him in the preseason. I mean, I said this to you, Jake, he's making those anticipation throws. He wasn't just waiting. He was throwing and trusting guys would be there. And I think that's huge for a rookie quarterback. I mean, most of these guys, they just wait too long for that throw. And if you want to make things easier on him, lean on your best weapon in Saquon Barkley and, you know, 100 yards in each game on the ground. He's got 16 touchdowns in 18 games. He's been consistent over the course of his career. And right up there near the top, like all these backs we're talking about in terms of fantasy points per game, Eckler 1, Cook 2, McCaffrey 3, Barkley 4, and Bell's 5. Nobody else has more than 20, you know, fantasy points per game. These guys are getting a lot of usage through the air, which brings them to that.
The defense of the Bucs starting to worry me a little bit. And if I'm them, I'm not saying I'm smarter than the Buccaneers coaching staff, because I'm not. But I'm just dropping David and somebody else into that middle of the field the entire game and taking that away from Daniel Jones and making him beat me outside and with a second and third read, because I just think if you do, this is going to be ugly. Like, I actually think, to jump ahead, I actually think the Buccaneers are a fun tournament defense.
Yes. Yeah. Again, another defense going against an inexperienced quarterback. Yeah, if you play multiple lineups, you'd be silly not to try out these defenses.
No, of course. All right. So, wide receiver tournament picks. Joe went first last time. You're up, Chris.
I guess I'd go back to Minnesota. I mean, we just talked about them, but I like Thielen and Diggs. I want to take shots on those two guys, and I feel the same way with the two Pittsburgh guys. I feel like just everybody is kind of out on Juju, complaining about Juju, even though he's been fine. He's just
Juju.
Under 100 yards. Like, what do you really expect from Juju? This is why I quote-unquote hated Juju, because everyone thought he was just going to get 2,000 yards this year. All of those yards, Antonio Brown
why
guy,
are you burning his jersey,
automatically going to go to Juju. I would never do that, Juju. Fan of the show for sure, but yeah, both of
why
those guys
pop his
I would
tires
take shots
on his bicycle
on
why do you hate him so much?
That was me. Yeah, did that. And I think we know the narrative with the connection, and I wonder, like, what's Washington's ownership percentage that you've got all these ownerships out there?
Yeah,
with Washington and Rudolph and from college days, like, obviously there was a connection there right away. You saw Rudolph
it's up
taking
there.
Some shots
it's
downfield.
Up there with
so
Marquise
think,
Brown and
yeah.
Antonio Brown and Devin Smith, so it's definitely up
it's,
there. People
yeah,
are
it's high.
Buying into it.
Maybe a fade.
Joe, I wrote this in the article.
$3,500.
Nearly 33% over the 3 years of the yardage from Rudolph went to Washington, and almost 40% of his touchdowns went to. You want to talk about a freaking market share?
Hope.
If that carried over even in the least, like, this is definitely not a guarantee to happen, but that's why everybody's on James Washington.
That's nuts. Yeah, I mean, I guess
could you imagine
the argument
that
would be the team.
And in the NFL, if you were told somebody's getting 33% and 40% of the market share of yards and touchdowns for any quarterback, he would be in your lineup every week. It doesn't even matter who it was.
There's no question he's going to take a couple shots with him. Absolutely. This guy played with him for a few years, taking shots. Like,
all four. Three of the great ones.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, there you go. He ends up being a pivot off of Nelson Agholor then reasonable price, right? Yeah. So I'm with you guys. I think one guy that we haven't mentioned at all that kind of stands out as one of the best tournament options, I think, at wide receiver, DK Metcalf, 4,700 on DraftKings, 62 on FanDuel. New Orleans can be beat deep. Yeah, I mean, his like numbers, if you just take out John Brown and DK Metcalf's number, like as far as like their names, they look pretty similar across all the air yards metrics. So same weighted opportunity rating, the yards per route run is almost identical as well. And we've seen New Orleans get beat deep plenty over the last couple years. I think that's an interesting one.
Because you talk about the DFS pass and everything like that. I was writing up DK Metcalf. And the one thing I said is Marshawn Lattimore isn't playing what we used to be afraid of Marshawn Lattimore 2 years ago, even sometimes last year. But second of all, if Eli Apple's ever on him, you telling me DK Metcalf is not going to destroy that matchup?
Yeah, he's going to destroy it for sure. I love DK Metcalf, and watching Seattle's first two games, I think he's Russell Wilson's favorite target. I think he's the first guy. I mean, he started off that game in Pittsburgh, and his first two throws were to DK Metcalf. I know Lockett is got a lot of talent, a lot of skill, but I think Metcalf is his guy. So I love that call by you, Joe, and he's reasonably priced. It's a good spot for him.
All right, so for mine, pivot. Come on, Chris,
it's a friends reference.
Shut up. So, DJ Moore, because you and I, so before you came on, Chris, Joe and I were talking before we came on the show. I'm on DJ Moore for the pivot because everybody's all over Curtis Samuel. And to go back to what seems to be now the theme that I'm bringing up today is the first, second, third read portion of this, is Curtis Samuel's routes take more time to develop than DJ Moore. That's just going to be what's going to happen. And if you're telling me who Kyle Allen might target the most, and DJ Moore is still the number one talent on that team. Curtis Samuel's a fine talent, but DJ Moore is still the best receiver. If the first read is going to be DJ Moore, and there's a chance DJ Moore sees 10 plus targets, I think he's a great pivot for the price and the fact that everybody's all over Curtis Samuel.
Yeah, 24 targets in two games. I mean, it's not a bad call. Both of those guys are pretty cheap. And, I said earlier with the up-tempo offense, maybe there's a lot of plays running this game. And who knows? Maybe pivot. McCaffrey does struggle on the ground. So, yeah, pivot. Can't pivot anymore. It's not a bad call by you.
Joe?
Yeah, I like it. There's not a whole lot of other guys that I'm super high on right now.
We brought Mike Evans before.
I'm always kind of... Yeah, I think he was going to be one of my stacks. I think that he's someone that if people are just going to be off him, it's a great time to kind of jump back on. I mean, I think the Arizona wide receivers, like you mentioned Fitzgerald earlier, but I still love Christian Kirk. I think those guys are still underpriced relative to how many plays that offense is going to run. And especially if the other side of that game gets super chalky in Carolina, you mentioned DJ Moore might be a good pivot, but maybe just pivoting to the wide receivers in Arizona makes some sense as well.
What are we doing with the KC guys? I mean, it's the highest total game. It's the only one over 50.
Everyone's
feeling Robinson all of a sudden now and Hardman, but I mean, what, you're not going to take any shots because everyone's all over them?
I'm going to take
30 points every week.
I'm going to take the shot on Sammy Watkins, the one that the least attention to because everybody's off of him. Because
that makes sense.
What did I say? Like, whatever. I'm just going to say it again. Sammy Watkins, if you told me that going into a game, hey, here's what I'm telling you in advance, Patrick Mahomes throwing for 400 yards. He's throwing for four touchdowns in advance. I'm telling you this. It's guaranteed. It's going to happen. And Sammy Watson is going to get 13 targets. I am going to put Sammy Watkins in every damn lineup I could possibly find. That's the truth. It was still the right decision last week. It's still the right decision this week. And I only bring that up because I told you guys I would say if Sammy Watkins disappointed because both of you guys weren't on him and I was, and I said he's going to be on a ton
it's
of my
not
lineups.
Cash. That's all.
Yeah.
That's not.
Well, no.
But you're right. If somebody did tell you that, I mean, you do take that
shot. No. And that's what I'm saying. I wasn't saying like I was right. I was definitely wrong. It was the wrong play. He disappointed. It was only wide receiver three value. But the point being, if that happens again this week, I don't see him having the same result. Like I just think that was just a disappointing week.
Agreed. And he drops down in price, right? He was 7,200 last week on DraftKings. He's now 68. And again, what is another high total? And I mean, Patrick Mahomes can't be stopped. It doesn't matter who he's throwing the ball
to. By the way, yelling pivot.
So good.
I woke up Barkley. I was just checking the video. I got to remember that in the future.
Watson, 13 targets last week. He only had 49 yards. Exactly. Like that's a situation where the volume makes a lot of sense. I'll take the L on Sammy Watkins. Cause I thought his price went to a spot where I wouldn't get there personally, but yeah, I mean, you got 13 targets for that price, man. That was definitely a play that made some sense and should have been better.
It should have.
Right? So he deserved
this
more.
This is the things that happen.
Deserved more.
So do you guys
who do you think's more owned, Hardman or Robinson?
I'm going to assume Hardman. And we could see as of today. Let's see. Mecole Hardman is tied with Tyler Boyd and Will Fuller and Tyler Lockett. Where's DeMarcus Robinson? Yep. DeMarcus Robinson's lower, down with Davante Adams, T.Y. Hilton, and Calvin Ridley. So there you go. And DJ Moore. Interesting. Pivot. so I don't wake her up. Quarterbacks. Do we have any tournament plays at quarterbacks, or are they kind of like the same picks as cash? Because we talk about this every single week. I feel like we can kind of quick hit quarterbacks every single week because you've hammered it the point already, Joe, is it's so flat that, you know, if you're going to pick somebody, it's unlikely you're going to be like, oh, look at me. You know, I'm so much different than everybody else.
Yeah, I think one guy we haven't mentioned, I guess, Deshaun Watson. I thought he was a great leverage play off of Lamar last week. I was dead wrong on that, clearly. But him to Will Fuller, I think, is something that would make a lot of sense as far as a stack in a tournament, especially if people are going to be off that. I think Deshaun, with everyone kind of getting infatuated with Dak, Lamar in that range, like I think Deshaun could end up being the lower owned of the group.
Yeah, and Joe talked about Wentz in around that range with Wentz and Stafford. I kind of mentioned him when with Golladay. I like Stafford. I like his price, $5,500. Again, it's just this Eagles secondary is not great, and they do a really good job of stopping the run. So, I mean, you can cut CJ Anderson all you want. I know Kerryon Johnson's going to have a lot of success on the ground. So I think it's a pretty good spot for Stafford, and maybe go the other ways. The Eagles are not running the football very well with all of their running backs. So, I mean, Wentz could just throw the ball like 40 times to two guys this week.
All right. Let's move over to the tight end. I'm going to go first on this one because I'm not going to say his name. Maybe you guys will, because I refuse to let his name come out of my mouth. Chris, I think you know who I'm talking about.
I know it already.
Yes, you know who it is.
Did he have a couple ugly drops last week?
Because this is the truth about this guy, is everybody is always all over this guy every single year for his six or seven great games. And everybody thought with the Saints, it would be more games to happen so far this year. And week one was excused away by, hey, it's an off week. I'm going to go back to him. And I am talking seasonal too, but a lot in DFS. And people go back to him. And then at week two, he had another bad game. And that's when everybody says, screw it, I'm done with this guy, because this is why he's in worst place. This is Pat Mayo, worst place, Mark Ingram. Mine's always been Jared Cook, although he agrees with me on Jared Cook too. But he's there. Nobody's on him this week. His projected ownership is in the basement, deservedly so, down with Jimmy Graham and Jack Doyle. I'm looking at it right now. If there's any one week with Teddy Bridgewater at quarterback that this guy at a tight end could surprise everybody, it's this week, and that's the only time he would ever be on my roster because nobody owns him.
A lot of Mayo shoutouts. He would not be happy with this pick, though.
No, he wouldn't. This would be like, if I could find a way to get Mark Ingram and this guy on the same team, this would be like the antithesis Pat Mayo lineup.
I see what you're saying.
I think I deserve a one-week suspension for the Mike Gesicki thing, though. Can we get that out of the way quickly?
Well, this is the problem with tight ends, right? I mean, you're spending up or you're taking shots with guys and you're just hoping that they're going to get some volume, some targets, be involved in the red zone. I mean, this is... it makes sense, Jake. I mean, recency bias, again.
I think everybody knows who I'm talking about at this point, right? I mean, I gave Bridgewater the Saints. Like, I mean, if you don't know, it rhymes with...
Yeah, it's Jared Cook. I mean, and Bridgewater went to him a couple times. He hit him right in the head once. I mean, be ready to catch the ball, Jared, but it does make a lot of sense for an inexperienced quarterback to kind of lean on Cook. I said it, not you. But another guy who I feel is the same way was, so TJ Hockenson was a fade last week because everybody was on him. He was projected the highest ownership in tournaments. I saw his ownership really high after the strong week one, and then he didn't do anything in week two. He just had one catch on three targets, and now I think everybody is going to be off of him. So somebody that's, you know, $3,500, again, I've already just hammered the secondary in Philadelphia enough times, but I think Hockenson could be interesting as well. But other than that, like, honestly, I think I'm just spending up at the tight end position this week.
Joe?
Yeah, I guess I wanted to let you guys talk about the tight end GPPs today, because I honestly feel like I deserve it after the Gesicki thing. But yeah, I'll follow that up. I'll follow that up with another probably terrible tight end take, but everyone's just talking about Carolina and Curtis Samuel week, and now DJ Moore is the leverage play, all that stuff. Like, does no one want to just, I guess, jam in, grab Greg Olsen at 37?
I mean, why not? He's got the second most targets on the team, and if you're talking
about, that's what I mean. Like, even if you look at least what he's done, 78 routes per the last 2 weeks. I mean, his routes per yard run is horrendous, but and at least he's getting a decent target share. 3,700. Like, when's the last time we saw Greg Olsen at 3,700? Like,
put so him, I Fitzgerald.
There's worse guys all
Frank
the way
Gore
down
in there. Can we do like the old ass team, Tom Brady? Like, I'm gonna put one of those lines.
So we didn't talk about Gore, but I mean, if there's no Singletary, I mean, it's not a bad punt play.
I think, strangely enough, if there is no Singletary, Gore feels like a good cash pick. I can't believe I just said that. Strike that from the record. We're moving on. Screw it. I didn't say it.
Yeah, and don't read my cash article then either.
That will be on Instagram in 5 minutes.
Awesome. Along with Harrod Book. Yeah, him too. I'm trying to think. God. All right, let's just do stacks. I'm so annoyed at this point.
Stack attack.
All right. So where look, you guys can both go because I'm not. I'm actually, if we're on video, I would do it if it just as a joke. But no, I'm going naked this week in both my tournaments, so I'm not doing a stack.
I've already talked to Detroit so much. That's my stack. I love it. Stafford, Golladay, boom, all day. I think he scores a couple touchdowns.
All right, well, I'm gonna leverage off of you and go the other side of that game and go Carson Wentz to Zach Ertz and Nelson Aguilar. I'll add in there because having some value with that is nice because it allows you to get up to those running backs we want. You could probably bring it back with Golladay if you really wanted to. I actually really like this game a lot more than I thought I would at first glance.
Mm. Yeah, Marvin Jones is not a bad pivot either.
Is he 100%? Or is maybe like the kind of debate that it had about Cam Newton before and the shoulder is 100% just not the 100% it's ever been? Like, he's just now his 100% is never what it's going to be anymore.
Yeah, maybe he's not 100%. Fine, I'll go hit with Hawkinson.
Fine, I'm still doing this.
No, but I just feel like it just doesn't, like when you face this secondary, it's just guys show up that haven't showed up, right? So maybe we'll see Jones. Like, I feel like Golladay's ownership should be pretty high if you are worried about that and you're trying to go another way in tournaments. But he's in cash. I think he's a lot.
Okay, fair enough. Like I said, we'll do our lineups here. Well, might as well do them right now because I told you I'm going naked. I'm doing naked quarterback week. Yeah, fun times. Yeah, well, we'll just do the battle royal. Let's go.
DFS battle royale.
So over on FanDuel, this is why I'll tell you it's Kyler Murray. I'm going Kyler Murray naked because I'm hoping for the upside of that he actually runs this week because he threw last week, and I'm hoping he runs because Damir Bird gets involved at times, and even Keyshawn Johnson. And you know, if I really wanted to stack, I'd probably lean Fitzgerald over Christian Kirk barely, although Christian Kirk looked really good last week. But for what I like with my lineup, I kind of feel like I'm going naked Murray with Zeke, Cook, Emmanuel Sanders, Mike Evans, DJ Moore, he shall not be named, Marlon Mack, and the Steelers defense.
Sounds like you're going to come last place.
I deservedly should come in last place. I really like Mack in the flex spot there, who we didn't talk a lot about, but the Falcons so far in the first two games giving it 5.5 yards per carry.
Yeah, and what he can catch too. He hasn't caught a lot of balls, but we've said this before with the running backs against the Falcons. So and there's some safety there with him as well, just getting a lot of touches. So,
well, you're talking. So what's your lineup?
Is he banged up? Right now?
Yeah, he's got a little. Maybe, but it sounds like he should be fine. But that's another good reason why you put him in the tournament lineup, because if he is fine, it sounds like he's going to be fine, but it's probably going to stay there all the way through Sunday.
Yeah, classified, Frank Wright, classified as a modified practice for Mac.
What is a modified practice?
He just didn't do anything. He just sat on the sidelines.
We gave him a controller. He played some Madden.
He's played some Madden. Madden. He's running real well against that Falcons defense in Madden. So no surprise, Stafford's my quarterback. Dalvin Cook at running back. I also like Frank Gore. If there's no Singletary, I know, whatever. I mean, at $5,700 on FanDuel, he's very cheap on DraftKings as well. Though, I know it's not great, guys. I know it's not great. Just do what he did last week. Fall in the end zone. I mean, get 16 carries. The offensive line is not bad. Yeah, he got 15 points on FanDuel, yeah. And I mean, he's not going to catch any passes, like we know that. But anyways, I had to spend down at my second running back because I got Golladay, Godwin, and Fitzgerald. I got Zach Ertz at the tight end position. Juju Smith-Schuster is my flex, and then I'm rolling out the 49ers defense.
Nice. I think we're gonna. One of us is gonna win all the money this week, Chris. So
I'm gonna go Chris, with. Not me.
Yeah, no, Jake is gonna. I mean, we'll
can
see,
I break 100?
Either one of us is gonna. Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I probably have gotten last in both weeks so far, haven't I? I don't remember what my team was last week, but I assume it was bad because that's how my week went. But Carson Wentz, I'm going to go with him to Nelson Aguilar and Zach Ertz, like I mentioned earlier. I think that that's a really solid stack that gives you kind of the ability to pay up at running back, like I always do. Dalvin Cook, Ezekiel Elliott, Christian McCaffrey. So I obviously got to get a little bit weird at wide receiver at that point. So John Brown, 5,900. James Washington at 5,200. And then I'm going super cheap with the Seattle Seahawks defense.
I like that lineup a lot.
I do, until you get to the defense, which you could be wrong. I just... And Teddy Bridgewater, safe Bridgewater. It's just bleh. But
well, the fear is of not spending up on defense and having the Cowboys get 40 plus points.
I am going to do a lineup to find. I am going to try and find a way to get that Cowboys defense in there.
I mean, you should. I mean, the Pats just had 37.
It's so ridiculous, and that's why I think defense scoring needs. Like, dude, all the people out there, like for me, ban kickers, ban defenses. No, the defense scoring is fine. It just needs to be adjusted. Like, there's that 37 is so ridiculous. But you know what's not ridiculous, guys? Is following Chris Meany at Chris Meany, following Joe Holka at Joe Holka. I'm at All In Kid, you guys know that. The DFS pass, Chris and I are involved over there. You get 10% off with code podcast. And we'll be back next week to hopefully talk about your winnings and get you ready for week 4 of the DFS season.
Thank you for listening to another edition of the Fantasy Footballers DFS Podcast. Don't forget to visit us on the web at www.thefantasyfootballers.com.